You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Colleges and universities are seeking ways to reach more students and bring in more money. And one way to do that, hire an outside company to market and support online programs. The company recruits students for online degrees that are branded with the name of that university. Among universities in our state, Michigan Tech and MSU have arrangements like this for some classes. Professors at Eastern Michigan University, however, are pushing back against such an arrangement between EMU and a for-profit company called Academic Partnerships. Judith Kullberg is professor of political science at EMU, and she's president of the EMU branch of the American Association of University Professors, and she is with us now. Good to have you here, Judith.
I'm happy to be here.
So your position is that the university's contract with this company out of Texas, Academic Partnerships, would devalue a degree from EMU. Why do you believe that?
Well, we've learned that Academic Partnerships has a model of instruction that involves scaling up courses so that they become very large. So either a course has no caps on it at all in terms of enrollment, or multiple sections of a course will be created from one section. And then the professor is supported in working with the students by another category of workers that Academic Partnerships refers to as coaches or teaching assistants. And these coaches or teaching assistants are not employees of the institution. They are provided by another for-profit company called Instructional Connections that is a strategic partner of Academic Partnerships. And both companies are located in Dallas, Texas. They're both private firms. And so they obviously developed this way of what they would say supporting instructors in teaching online. But our view of it is that it dilutes the quality of courses because students do not have that kind of direct contact with professors that has become the hallmark of an EMU education.
How does that differ, just talking in general, with having teaching assistants teaching large sections, even if it's in front of them, not online? How does that any different?
I think it's quite different. Even though Instructional Connections, if you look at their website, they explain that the way the firm was created was by thinking about, well, how do large research universities teach so many students and do it fairly efficiently? They have this model of teaching assistant. But the big difference here is that teaching assistants in a research university are students at that university. They're enrolled in graduate programs, and really they are in a kind of apprenticeship system where they're working with a senior professor who designs the course and delivers the lectures, and then that senior professor coordinates the kinds of discussions that will take place in the classroom between the teaching assistants and the students. So the teaching assistants have face-to-face interaction with the students. They get to know the students, and they are learning how to teach in the process. And they will, when they finish their degrees, will go off and take academic positions at other universities. These teaching assistants that are hired by Instructional Connections, teaching assistants, are very poorly paid. We know that from comments that we've seen online at Glassdoor.com, where employees of Instructional Connections have talked about their working conditions. They are interacting with hundreds of students, maybe thousands of students. They don't have any role in designing the classes or even in their own sections. And they're not graduate students. They aren't people who have been admitted to very prestigious graduate program because they're very bright and did really well in college. We don't even know what their qualifications are to be coaches.
Now, Eastern's statement has been very clear that they say there will be no use of coaches to teach these classes. Are you not buying that?
No, not at all.
Why?
Well, we submitted an information request that we have a right to under state law because we're a collective bargaining unit. The university refused our information request for months. We had to file an unfair labor practice, and an administrative law judge ordered the university to give us the documents we were seeking. The university gave us about 14,000 documents, and we've gone through all of them now, and we have found evidence that the university agreed to the coach model when it signed this current contract.
Much has been written across the country about the future of higher education, moving more online. You know, and online classes do offer a chance for more non-traditional students to get a college degree, and they expand the reach of the university because there are no geographic limitations. Are you and your members opposed to offering online classes in general?
No, not at all, because, in fact, I teach an online class. I'm teaching it right now, but it has 25 students in it, and I'm the one teaching those students. I interact with them. I evaluate their work. So even though I don't see them face-to-face, I feel like I know them very well. I certainly, you know, give them a kind of feedback, constructive feedback on the written work that they need, you know, very detailed commentary and advice for how to revise their work. So it's not online instruction itself that we are opposed to, not at all.
Are there other private companies, apart from academic partnerships, that are offering a model that you feel could be workable?
Absolutely.
What does it look like?
Well, we know that several other firms did approach Eastern and explicitly compared their model to the academic partnerships model and said to EMU administrators, why don't you work with us? Because we don't try to tell the university who they should admit, how the courses should be structured, what the term of instruction should be. So these other firms allow the university to remain in control, really, of the curriculum, the content of the curriculum, the structure, admission requirements, everything. Academic Partnerships is a very different kind of firm. It has its own model, and it insists that its partners adhere to its model.
And so let's talk about who shapes the curriculum.
Well, they take a big role in it. So they try to remove all of what they consider to be impediments to student success or even impediments to admission. So the first of those is admission. So it's obviously a lot easier to recruit students if the admissions requirements are lower. And for these online degree programs that my university is currently contracted for, the admissions requirements have been dropped.
I mean, are there no admissions or they've been lowered?
They've been lowered.
How low?
Well, I don't have the documents right in front of me. And, you know, so, I mean, we've just looked at those things a couple of days ago, but it's considerably lower. And there was a lot of opposition within the university, among administrators even, to doing that.
And then what about the content, the actual curriculum? Do they shape that too, or
I would say that they do. In a couple of examples of degree programs that I know quite a bit about, Academic Partnerships said there shouldn't be prereqs for courses. So, you know, a lot of curriculums have the structure where
You have to take this to take that.
Exactly. Sure. You work your way up. You have to have a basic course. It gives you that foundational knowledge, and then you're ready to take the more advanced course, et cetera. Academic Partnerships doesn't want a structure like that because they want students to be able to come in and out of courses whenever they're ready to take classes. They also have a model that they call a carousel, and it involves dividing the academic year up into at least six different terms of 6 weeks or 7 weeks in length. And the student can start the curriculum at any time of the year, leave for a semester or a term or two, and then come back in. And any courses that they need, they can always be able to get into them. Many faculty are skeptical about offering courses in such a short format. For some classes, it works. But for other classes, it might not work very well at all. Maybe you really need the 14 weeks. And those things have really traditionally been the responsibility of faculty and departments. This is, I think, the biggest problem of universities working with for-profit entities is that the interests of the university and the interests of the for-profit company diverge.
Are your members worried about losing their jobs because of this kind of arrangement?
No, I don't think we're worried about losing our jobs. What we're really worried about is that this will transform Eastern. Eastern is a university that provides a very high quality education at an affordable price, and we pride ourselves as being an institution of opportunity, and we're worried that this agreement will destroy the qualities of the university that we value so highly.
I'm wondering, once a professor uploads his or her lectures and syllabi and assignments and other course material, who owns that?
Well, that's a really good question. And we're very concerned about that because once a course is created digitally, it can be copied very easily. And we believe that under Michigan state labor law, the university had an obligation to negotiate this agreement about this agreement with us, because this agreement has tremendous implications for our working conditions. And they didn't negotiate. They didn't tell us anything about it. They signed the contract without any consultation with faculty at all.
When was faculty brought into this conversation?
Never. I mean, we've insisted on talking about it, but no, there is no real conversation. They made the decision. They've told us that they're going to go ahead with this.
And if you had been brought into that discussion sooner, how do you think things would be different today?
It would be very different. And that really is what should have happened. If the university believes that this is necessary for its financial well-being and so that it can adapt to the demands of the 21st century, then that should have been considered through a broad conversation that involved all the stakeholders within the university, not just faculty, but students, alumni, people who are concerned about the university, people that support the university. And then there should have been some sort of evaluation of the different models offered by the companies out there. And not all of those companies are for-profits. Some of them are nonprofits. So this company, Academic Partnerships, will get 50% of all tuition and fees for the students that it recruits into the degree programs. That's a lot of money. And here we are in a situation where the state is constantly cutting its budgetary allocations to state universities. And can we really afford to be giving away that much of our revenue?
But the university would argue, well, we wouldn't have these students if they hadn't recruited them.
Well, that's not entirely clear. There have been universities that have ended their agreements with Academic Partnerships because they found that they weren't generating the kind of revenue that Academic Partnerships had said they would, or they had real problems with the quality of the education that was being provided to the students through Academic Partnerships. So Ohio University ended a contract that it was in with Academic Partnerships.
So you've started this ad campaign to raise awareness of what's going on. What are you hoping the end result of that would be?
Well, we're asking that the university honor our collective bargaining agreement, our contract with them, and also that they honor the rights of faculty to give input on curricular matters that are in that contract. So we would like them to bring it to us and ask us what we think about it. And then they really need to negotiate any kind of long-term agreement like this about the delivery of courses with the AAUP.
Is this something that professors would be willing to strike over?
I haven't heard anyone talk about a strike, but I do know that people are very upset. And we have a petition that we've launched online. And it's not just for professors. Anyone can sign it. Anyone that's worried about Eastern Michigan's future can sign that petition. And there are people who would like to speak with the administration about this whole situation, would like to have some answers to the questions that we've posed. So that might be possible, that we could organize some sort of a forum where the administration would really have to answer these questions, and that would be good, too. But no, I haven't heard anything about a strike.
Judith Kohlberg is president of the Eastern Michigan University Board of the American Association of University Professors. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.
And we reached out to EMU's administration and invited them to join us to share their perspective. They have accepted our invitation, and we'll have that conversation for you within the next 2 weeks. We also reached out to a representative of Academic Partnerships involved in negotiating the deal with EMU. That person did not respond to our request for an interview.